Got a couple of guests here this morning from Natchog Hospital to talk about Natchog's schools, not to be confused with Natchog School, which got the nice honor earlier this year and had the parade. Now, this is Natchog Hospital, which runs schooling as well. I'm joined by Sean Sear, Director of School Programs for Natchog and Rushford, and also Paul Weigel, Associate Medical Director at Natchog Hospital with Ambulatory Services. Gentlemen, good morning. Thank you for coming in today to talk about this something information that probably a lot of people weren't aware of the programs that go on at Natchog Hospital. Sean, let me start with you. Tell me more about Natchog Schools and how many schools are there and who attends?
Sure. Good morning. Happy to be here. So we have 7 approved school programs across state of the state of Connecticut. And I say approved, that means that we are approved by the State Department of Education. We have 5 clinical day treatment schools. We also provide school services for the inpatient services over here in Mansfield. And we also have a school program that's located also on the same campus, but for girls who are in the court system. So those are our 7 programs. The majority, as I said, are clinical day treatment schools. And what this means is we take kids who have traditionally not been successful within their public school system, and they come to us. They get referred to us by the school districts, and we provide an educational home for them.
And they can eventually get a high school degree out of the deal?
Absolutely. They get a degree from the district that sends them. We have the same curriculum that they would experience if they were in the public school system. We just typically have a much smaller environment, which is really helpful for the students because they get a much better student-to-staff ratio, and we are able to meet their needs a little bit better than what the public schools can do simply because we have a lot more resources.
What range do you have of people that come to Natchog? Would they come from even Western Connecticut?
Not so far as Western Connecticut. Typically, school districts like to keep the transportation to under an hour, but we have seen that reached at times because we provide excellent school services, or else I wouldn't be a part of it. And you know, sometimes it's worth it for a student to be in a van for an hour each way. That's not the norm, though.
Paul Weigel joining us this morning. Dr. Weigel, you've done extensive work around the harms of social media on the mental health aspects of students especially. Can you outline some of the risks associated with platforms like TikTok, Snapchat, or even Facebook?
Absolutely. So, Wayne, social media has really taken over the free time of so many adolescents, and it has had an unfortunate impact on mental health. And we've seen this adolescent mental health crisis with soaring rates of depression and anxiety. There's 5 ways that social media does negatively impact mental health. The first is it has replaced in-person socializing, which is so important for our well-being, and socializing online is not the same. And the second way is sleep. Social media has had a significant negative impact on sleep. More teens than ever are getting insufficient sleep and paying a price in their ability to learn and in their mental health. The next way is by social comparison. Looking at these online posts and profiles of peers, young people unfairly compare themselves and their real lives to these images they see online. It makes them feel worse about their own image and their own lives, and it takes a toll on their mental health as well. Add to that the constant distraction, which prevents real in-person socialization when kids are looking at their phones, even when they're together, and the impact on learning and doing schoolwork. And finally, online cruelty. Young people will do and say things online that they wouldn't in person. Publicly shaming a teen is a teen's worst nightmare, and that is not an uncommon reason for kids to become depressed or suicidal.
Now, Paul, I know we're talking schools. I know we're talking about teenagers for the most part, but don't a lot of the things you just talked about affect adults, say 20 years of age and up?
Not in the same way. So if you're a middle-aged or older adult and you're using social media in a moderate way, it is not likely to have a negative impact on your mental health. Young adults, those who grew up with social media in their teen years are the ones who are the most susceptible. There's something about the developmental process by which peer relationships are so important to teens in a way that they're not exactly to adults, and that makes them unfortunately very susceptible to the negative mental health effects of social media.
And speaking of social media, this whole TikTok thing has been ripped from today's headlines in the last couple of weeks in particular. What's your take on that, and is it as big a deal as it's being made out to be?
Certainly, TikTok has a massive influence on the lives of our young people. It's where they go to learn about the world, about health, about their peers, about norms. And unfortunately, TikTok often does teach the wrong lessons, because it's not necessarily the voices who are communicating truth that get the most attention. It's the ones that are the most entertaining, and that only lines up at times. So a lot of times kids are learning the wrong lessons, unfortunately.
Are there healthy ways to use social media?
Absolutely. So using social media to organize and connect in real life, in order to organize social events, for example, is a wonderful way to use social media. FaceTiming relatives is a very positive way. And again, if you're an adult using in moderation, what I've outlined really probably doesn't apply to you.
Full disclosure, how much social media use do you have?
That's a good point. Good question. I think I go on a good half hour a day, see what my friends are posting, see what they're up to. Not necessarily tempted to use much more.
Sean, how do you handle that in your classroom settings? Do you basically tell them to leave the phone outside the door, or do you just outlaw it? I mean, it's an issue in every school, but what about the Natchog schools?
Sure, and I'll start by saying that I am actually a big fan of social media. I think it's absolutely important. And the
more than a half hour a day?
I would say I engage in more than a half hour a day. You know, my use is primarily, I look at a lot of news. That's where I get a lot of my news from. But really teaching kids how to use it effectively, because for us to say that you're never going to use it or you shouldn't use it is just not a realistic approach to the situation. So that's our focus. In our schools, we typically do ask the students to keep their phones away. It can be taken or earned back as a privilege for our higher level students, that they can actually look and engage during the day. But we know that those are the students who are least likely to be distracted and to really try to make maladaptive connections with other people through the use of social media.
Do you try to at least make the awareness to your students at Natchog Hospital to make them realize that not everything you read on social media is true? There's a lot of bad information out there.
Absolutely. So luckily, very recently, we just got Chromebooks for all of our students across the board that are supported by the hospital. And one of the key things that we are doing with intention is to teach them about digital citizenship and making sure that they are putting good information out there, but also making sure that they are receiving adequate or appropriate information and how to verify. You know, sometimes you may read a post about a recruit that was just committed. I did this a couple times in the past week, and you see, oh, that sounds really exciting. Let me go try other sources to verify if this information is true. So that's just one of the skills, and we are actually building a curriculum to help students do that. And that's been around for quite a while. I mean, even with just Google, this was an issue. You can easily Google a source. But in that regard,
Google finds bad information too.
It certainly does. The difference to me, though, with social media is you have to seek out information. You have to Google something to get information. Right now, social media is pushing information to you. So it's all that much more important to make sure that you are verifying your sources.
Paul, what are some of the things that the adults in children's lives can do to help curb the harm of social media use?
Well, the simplest thing that that parents can do is simply delaying introduction of a smartphone and a social media account in the lives of kids.
Easier said than done.
It absolutely is, especially when, and I'm talking about delaying until 8th, 9th, 10th grade really would protect kids, but very difficult to do when it seems like your kid is the only one who isn't on social media and doesn't have a smartphone, which is why parents really need to work together. They need to work together in order to make an agreement that they're going to wait until eighth grade, for example, to get a smartphone, because when their groups of parents together are much more powerful. Also, parents can advocate for changes at the federal level. Social media companies really do need to be regulated. They can encourage healthier use, but they're just not incentivized to do so right now. But government intervention can change that. And finally, I believe that it would really serve the health of our youngsters to get cell phones out of classrooms, to give teachers a chance to teach and kids a chance to learn.
How about the imprint factor? The parents might say to the kid, don't be on social media a lot. And then the kid sees the parent on social media. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And the biggest research proves that the biggest determinant of child screen media habits is parent media habits. So you're absolutely right in pointing out that perhaps the most important thing that parents can do is maintain a healthy balance in their own screen media habits in order to help their kids to do the same.
Sean, let me go back to what you talked about earlier on about the classes that you have for troubled teens at Natchog Hospital with the goal of getting them some sort of a high school degree or diploma. Do you have occasional feel-good stories where the kids take that and go beyond that and maybe go on to and graduate from college? Meaning this program to get them high school educated winds up getting them a college degree.
Absolutely. So our overall focus is post-secondary education and life and transitioning to something beyond the high school. We are a very structured four walls, so to speak, and a lot of the kids are successful, but that's not really enough. We need to make sure that we're preparing them for life after high school. And that could actually look different for a lot of different kids. We have had students who have transitioned onto four-year colleges, but that's not always going to be the best answer for a kid. Sometimes it's going to be, you know, maybe looking at an associate's degree, trades, all these types of things. This year, we set up recruiters from the military because we had kids who were specifically interested in joining the military. And so if we set them up with those types of experiences now, they're more likely to be successful while they're with us. But then they have a goal. They have a dream, something that they want to work toward. And we definitely see a lot of success post high school graduation.
Paul, do you see a lot of issues in the students at Natchog Hospital's schools that seem to be related to the harmful use of social media?
So kids come to our after-school programs, which are called the Joshua Center, which are group therapy programs, kids who are really struggling in the community. And one of the ways that we help kids the most is by giving them a break from their social media, giving them a break from their video games and cell phone, and getting them together. And kids form connections that they tell me that they just can't form with kids at school where kids are just often distracted by their phones, but they can connect in a real positive way.
When I was their age, I took a bat and a ball and went out and played baseball. I understand you'll be giving a presentation on this at the upcoming Natchog Charity Luncheon. What do you hope people will take away from attending this event?
Well, my hope is that attendees will understand that social media and smartphones are not harmless in the lives of teens and kids. But we're not helpless, that we can work together in order to both locally and nationally in order to protect our kids and make a healthier childhood.
What's your target audience for this luncheon and how can people get involved?
Sure. So really the luncheon is for anyone who has an interest in the mental health and education of young people. And if someone is would like to attend our luncheon, which is at Eastern State, a week from today at noon, they can contact Sherry Smarden at 465-5910.
I would also like to add that if anybody is interested in hearing from the student perspective about what it's like to be a teen now, you know, I could speak for myself. I'm a 40-something. I didn't even grow up with a computer in my house. So it's really easy for me to, you know, have an opinion on the matter. However, we're going to have a student panel that's going to be presenting that I'll be moderating. And we're going to get to hear from the kids, actually, what it's like to have social media in their lives to help us develop that empathy. I think that that's a really important key to supporting kids nowadays, is to provide them with empathy so that we can actually help and shape and mold and grow them in a way that they're going to be successful today. Because the way that we were successful, you know, 20 years ago is not what they need to be successful today.
Why is it called a Natchog Charity Luncheon? Are we raising money for a charity?
So the money is going to support our Natchog schools. We use that money for a variety of reasons. Oftentimes it is related to technology, not to social media or anything like that. But whatever the needs are at the moment, this gives us the funds that we can access. For example, a couple of our smart boards had broken down. And so here we are in the classroom. We're used to using technology. We want to make sure our students are capable of interacting with technology. And when they broke down, we were able to resupply that technology within the classroom.
Week from today, May 8th at Eastern Connecticut State University at noontime. Information 860-465-5910 till Sherry Wayno says hi. Guys, good information, particularly about social media today. Thank you for coming in today. Sean Sear, Director of School Programs for Natchog Hospital and Rushford, and Paul Weigel, Associate Medical Director, Natchog Hospital Ambulatory Services on WILI.